Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A fantastic Friday to you. It's January the 20th, 2023. So happy to be talking to you today, wherever you might be on the road, might be at home, might be catching the episode later as a podcast. I don't know. But if you're listening live, you can call in right now. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. You can also find me on Twitter. Follow me there at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Or you can email me. Cale@relevantradio.com, cale@relevantradio.com. Love to hear from you. Story ideas. Hey, I actually got one from Father Rocky. He emailed me something I'm going to be sharing with you later. It's a beautiful story, and I can't wait. But right now, I want to talk about the March for Life, which obviously happened today in Washington, D.C., a milestone, the 50th anniversary of the March for Life. And the first one since Roe versus Wade has been struck down by the Supreme Court of the United States, but there's still so much work to be due on the fight for life front. And a couple of speakers today, many speakers were there today. Tony Dungy, former coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, catching a lot of flack for speaking at the March for Life. I think it's unjustified. But another set of speakers, two sisters, Sister Mary Casey O'Connor and her twin sister, Casey Gunning. Now, Sister Mary Casey O'Connor, and when she took her religious vows, by the way, she's one of the Sisters of Life. It was really quite beautiful. She took her sister's name as part of her religious name. That's why she calls herself Sister Mary Casey O'Connor. Her twin sister, Casey Gunning, she has Down syndrome, and they both spoke today at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Here's a clip.
Casey, there's a lot of pregnant women who have been told that they are pregnant with a child with Down syndrome. What do you want to tell those women?
Your child will be a blessing to you and to the world. And you will be your perfect mom. And God bless you. On behalf of all people with Down syndrome, especially those whose life is threatened in the womb. America, we need you and you need us.
It's just a beautiful clip, and I got to be honest with you, I got choked up when I was listening to that, and I find that, first of all, the Sisters of Life, they have such an incredible charism. They were founded in 1991 in New York City by Cardinal John O'Connor, and in fact, Sister Mary Casey O'Connor, and you just heard her twin sister, Casey, speaking there, who has Down syndrome. Sister Mary Casey O'Connor, that's why she took as her last name. One of her names in her, Mary is pretty obvious there, but Casey she got from her sister. And she also added the name O'Connor to her religious name as a Sister of Life because of Cardinal John O'Connor, who founded the Sisters of Life. So that's pretty cool. But whenever I'm around one of the Sisters of Life, and where I live in Toronto, Canada, they do have a chapter here, and they're in some other U.S. cities as well. They're in Phoenix, they're in Philadelphia, they're in Denver, and in D.C. as well, in the Washington, D.C. area. Whenever I'm around one of the Sisters of Life, if I hear them give a talk or something like that, and I've been blessed to know a couple of them, man, whenever I'm around them, I don't know, there's just something about their charism. I get choked up, Producer Jim. I don't know, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, they do really radiate such joy, and I was... speaking with you before the show, and when I went to school at Franciscan University, they had a vocations fair every year, and at the time I was kind of loosely, I guess you could say, discerning a vocation to the priesthood. Always discerning until I knew my vocation was marriage. But I would actually spend more time talking to the Sisters of Life because they did just, you know, bring that love of Christ, and it's just a beautiful thing. And to see that on the March for Life today was just beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love their vocation. And as you said, the joy that they bring to the table is really something else. And Katie Yoder, who writes for the Catholic News Agency, had a piece, kind of a profile on these two twin sisters who spoke at the march today. And it was really cool. And here's what Sister Mary Casey O'Connor said about her twin sister who has Down syndrome, Casey. She said, quote, "I wish everyone had someone like her because she just taught me what it means to love and not to expect anything back." And that's ultimately our experience of God. Casey, for me, is an expression of God's love. And it's amazing because the article, the profile, and there's a similar, actually, there's an interview with the two sisters also over at The Pillar, pillarcatholic.com, so you can check that one out as well. And each of the two twin sisters, they each obviously are an advocate for life in different ways. And we all have to be, no matter what our vocation is. Obviously, Sister Mary, through her vocation as a sister of life, and Casey, just the witness of her life as well as just being a person with Down syndrome, and the godparents of my daughter, Michaela, Chris and Mary Cooney, they have a son named Christopher who has Down syndrome, and Mary's been on the program before, and he's just seeing him come into their family and how he touched so many hearts with just the way he is. It's just, they're such a gift. They're such a gift. And Sister Mary explained how her sister Casey is a pro-life witness in her own right. She said, quote, "It's not even a conscious thing. She's constantly choosing just to live life to the full. And she receives the gift of her own life. And that is the most powerful kind of witness that she gives off," end of quote. And Casey has been, she has a profession of her own. She's a teacher's assistant, and she's been a lifelong athlete, actually, in the Special Olympics, too. And it's just so amazing to see their shared witness, and they're 39 years old. They're going to be turning 40 this year together. And they grew up actually in Littleton, Colorado. They had two older siblings who were adopted. And this happens very often in families where couples who are struggling with infertility, they're unable to have children of their own, they adopt. And then I've seen this on dozens of occasions. They'll wind up having other children of their own later. And that's exactly what happened with their family, with the Gunning family. Sister Mary and Casey came along kind of as a surprise. They were born long after their mom was told that she wasn't able to have children. And Sister Mary O'Connor says, "Her presence in my life," talking about her sister Casey, "has had one of the biggest effects on shaping my worldview, my view of life, my view of the faith, in my view of the human person." You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. And Sister Mary says she's kind of helped me to be grounded in things that are important and has invited me, not intentionally, but kind of unintentionally, invited me to let go of things that are not as important, especially eternally, as we might think that they are. And she just says love is oozing out of her, just oozing out of her. She places no judgment. She always forgives. She always gives the benefit of the doubt. She always sees the good in another person. And I desperately want that for myself. And I realize how far I am from that. But being in her presence invites me to do it because she just does it naturally. And she actually said that Casey's life and just who she is actually really helped her when she was discerning her vocation to be a sister of life. And she said that when she met the sisters of life, it kind of all made sense to her that God prepared her heart for so many years beforehand to look at each person as an individual. And a lot of that was because of Casey, to see the good in them, to look past what the world often sees right away, to look past and see the person who is so valued in God's sight. And she was asked in this interview by Katie Yoder, Sister Mary Casey was asked, what would you say during your pro-life work if you come across a pregnant woman who's expecting a baby, who maybe has been diagnosed prenatally with Down syndrome, and this mom might be feeling scared, might be feeling tempted, and maybe even pressured to choose abortion? What would you say to this woman? And Sister Mary Casey O'Connor said, the first thing she would do is listen. She says, quote, "Because I think it's so important to be a space where someone can express the fears, the sadness, the sorrow, and the kind of maybe even a letdown of expectation, and just receive it and validate it," end of quote. And I thought that was a pretty real answer because it might not seem like a spiritual reaction, but I think moms who are in this position probably have felt that. And if you've if you're in that situation, if you have a child who has Down syndrome, if that's how you felt initially, and how did you respond to that? How did God help you with that? Call in 888-914-9149. This idea that there is a bit of a sorrow maybe initially, not realizing. I think some potential moms maybe don't realize that the gift that it can be. And then she says this. She said the second thing that she would do, Sister Mary Casey O'Connor, she was meeting a woman who was in this position. She said, I would share my own experience of Casey, my sister, and I would invite this woman to simply trust that God gives us gifts in ways that we don't always expect, and the ways that we don't necessarily always want, gifts that we wouldn't necessarily choose for ourselves, but still nonetheless a gift. And she said, quote, on a tangible, concrete human level, Casey has been the tremendous blessing of my life. And I just want to invite someone else to step out in faith and trust that God desires to be generous in the unknown. That God desires to be generous in the unknown. And that's a really beautiful thing to say, that God desires to be generous in the unknown. And just trusting Him, learning how to trust Him, is such a big part of life. The Divine Mercy Chapel, Jesus, I trust in you. Such a big part of our day here on Relevant Radio. It's prayed every day at 3 o'clock on the Drew Mariani Show. And this is what we have to do with situations, with relationships in our life, sometimes that don't make sense, stressors in our life and the pressures that we have to deal with every day. Just saying, Jesus, I trust in you with all of this. And Katie Yoder asked Sister Mary Casey O'Connor, what do you want people to remember from the speech that you're going to make at the March for Life today? And she said this, Sister said, quote, that God doesn't make mistakes, that He knows what He's doing. He has a great desire for us to need Him, and He actually wants us to need each other. And that's what Casey and I, that's what the gift that we have in each other, that's kind of what He wrote into the fabric of our relationship from the very beginning, that we need each other and that God has a great desire for us to need Him and to be aware of that. So just a beautiful, beautiful story, beautiful piece by Katie Yoder, profiling Sister Mary Casey O'Connor of the Sisters of Life and her twin sister, Casey Gunning, who has Down syndrome. She's a teacher's assistant, lifelong Special Olympics athlete, and I know they made a powerful impression, as you heard from that clip, on everybody at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. today. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. If you want to call in, if you want to react to that story, if you have a question about something else, I invite you to dial it right now, 1-888-914-9149. Be right back. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Looking for a new job? How about one that offers you opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Hey, if you were at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. today, and you want to tell me what it was like on the ground, I'd love to hear from you. I've had my nose to the grindstone for most of the day, so I haven't been able to keep close tabs on it, but you can call in right now, 888-914-9149. We talked about it before the break. Heartwarming story about two sisters, one a sister of life and the other, her twin sister, who has Down syndrome, and they spoke today at the march. What a great story that was. And speaking of stories, I love to get your stories, your ideas for the show, story ideas. You can email them to me. The address is Kale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And Father Rocky himself, the CEO of Relevant Radio, actually sent me one. And it was just a really beautiful, beautiful piece. And I had to share it with you. It's all about a man who secretly healed a small town in Alabama. What am I talking about? Well, this is written in the Washington Post, actually, by Kathy Free. And Kathy does a lot of human interest stories for the Washington Post. And it's an intriguing story. And it's about a guy named Hody Childress, who died on New Year's Day. And he was basically a farmer who was retired, and he was didn't have a lot of cash to his name. He was living off his retirement savings in a really small town, Geraldine, Alabama. About 10 years ago, he walked into the local drugstore, which is really small. And there's a, well, we'll put a link to this story in the show notes. It's really tiny, this little drugstore in their town. It's called Geraldine Drugs. And he pulled aside the owner of this particular drugstore. Her name was Brooke Walker. And he asked her if there were any families in the town who couldn't afford to pay for their medications. And she told him, unfortunately, yes, that is the case. That often happens. And he said, well, I want to do something to help that. And so he gave her a $100 bill, just all folded up and kind of slipped it to her. And he said, if you come across anybody who can't afford to pay for their medications, maybe this can help. But please, please, one condition, don't tell a soul where the money came from. If they ask, tell them this. It's simply a blessing from the Lord. So she said, okay. Now, the next month, Hody Childress came back, and he gave Brooke Walker, the owner of the drugstore, another folded up $100 bill. And he kept doing this every month, month after month, year after year. And he kept doing it until he became too weak to do it. He had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and he eventually became too weak to even make the trip to that local drugstore. He was 80 years old when he passed away, Hody Childress, on New Year's Day. And Brooke Walker, the owner of Geraldine Drugs, decided that she would break her silence about who it was, the secret giver who passed on such relief to families who needed it. And so she decided to tell Hody Childress's family about these donations. And the $100 bills that he gave every month added up eventually to thousands and thousands of dollars. And he was able to help at least two people every month who didn't have health insurance. And unfortunately, so many Americans fall into that category, and they wonder where the money is going to come from to pay for their medications and pay for their bills. And they were able to be helped by Hody Childress and his generosity. And Hody's daughter, her name is Tanya Nix, she was just getting ready to let people know about her father's generosity. At the same time, his funeral happened on January the 5th, and before he passed away, Hody Childress told his daughter Tanya Nix that he had done this, that he had made these donations. And he told her, look, every month I took a $100 bill to Brooke Walker, who owns the pharmacy. And I swore her to secrecy. He said, you can't tell anybody where this came from. I just wanted to bless people with it. And he always wanted to help people. And he was always that way. And he had a really tough experience that happened in his life. He was an Air Force veteran, Hody Childress. And in 1973, a tornado swept through the town of Geraldine, Alabama. And unfortunately, it killed Hody Childress's father, and it also killed his son. And Hody Childress Jr. was killed on that day in 1973 as well, 50 years ago. And so Tanya Nix, his surviving child, she knew that, obviously, that this is an incredible pain in her father's heart. He never complained about it, though. He never, ever lost his optimism or his faith. Hody Childress worked for Lockheed Martin in Huntsville, Alabama. He was a product manager, and when he sort of had an avocation as well. In his off hours, in his spare time, he was really into farming. And his daughter said that when he was on his tractor, that was kind of his therapy, and he spent so much time helping other neighbors with sort of their local farming needs. He helped them to plant their gardens. And he would always, when he went to the post office, he would, this is kind of a nice slice of small town Americana, small town life. He would bring the postmaster an apple from his own produce, or some sweet potatoes or squash or okra that he had grown on his own little farm. And Odie Childress's wife, Peggy, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and eventually she became so ill that she couldn't walk. And Odie Childress spent years caring for her, and he would carry her in and out of places that she wanted to go. And everybody in the town remembered him carrying her up to the top row of the bleachers at their local high school, Geraldine High School, because she loved watching Friday night football games. And maybe you've seen the TV show Friday Night Lights, or the movie that kind of inspired it, the book. By the way, Friday Night Lights, one of the best TV shows of all time. Just a little recommendation there. If you're looking for something to watch, it's amazing. And so Odie Childress used to carry his wife Peggy up to the top bleacher, and they would watch the Friday night high school ball games. And he did that every year until he could no longer do it because he had heart surgery in 1998. He could no longer lift her up. Well, Peggy died in 1999, and it was a tough time for Odie Childress, but he eventually remarried. He found love again. He remarried about a year later. And his daughter said, I don't know what inspired him to start taking those $100 bills to the drugstore, but when Peggy was sick with multiple sclerosis, she had very, very expensive medications, and that might have had something to do with it. And once people found out, once people in the town of Geraldine, Alabama found out that Odie Childress was the guy who had been responsible for helping them with their medications, there was just such an outpouring of love and gratitude. And Brooke Walker, who owns Geraldine Drugs, the local drugstore, she heard so many stories from people who'd been helped by him that they were going through a rough time, and they were just so grateful when they showed up to pick up their prescriptions. There was one woman who didn't have an EpiPen. She didn't have enough money to buy an EpiPen for her son. It was $600. And Brooke Walker was able to actually pay for it for her out of this fund started by Odie Childress. And she was just so thankful to be able to actually put a face to put a person's name to this sort of angel, if you will, that helped her was just so meaningful for her. And she can pray for his repose now. Brooke Walker also told about a single mom and her daughter who needed some medication. Their insurance just didn't cover the cost. And she was able to pay for this out of the fund started by Odie Childress. And when she handed the woman the prescription with the receipt attached, she just burst into tears. And she came back. She was so thankful for the fact that her medication was paid for, that she came back and she said, I want to do this for somebody else. I want to actually help somebody else. I want to pay it forward. And so this fund just kept growing and growing, and growing. It's kind of a legacy of kindness. And it's still going today. People are still dropping by the drugstore, making donations, kind of in memory of Odie Childress. They call it the Odie Childress Fund, and they're going to keep it going for as long as they possibly can. And I think it's going to be going for a long time. That's amazing. Just a great, great piece. And thanks, Father Rocky, for sending that to me. There's still a lot of goodness in the world. A lot of people just trying to show the love of God in very, very practical ways in their everyday lives. And that's what it's all about. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. Well, I tell you, I've got a friend, a little personal story here, a close friend, and I don't think my friend will admit this, but he's thinking, I'm not going to say who his name is, he might even be listening, but I think he's seriously thinking about becoming a Catholic. It's at least crossed his mind. I've tried to help answer his questions from time to time. But he did send me a question, something that he came across on Instagram, and, you know, I'm not on Instagram. I'm not an Instagrammer. I tell you, I have a face made for radio. I'll save that for others. But really intriguing. This is actually, he sent me a post on Instagram that was from a lawyer, and the lawyer was basically asking the question, Can you sue a priest? Now, why would you want to sue a priest? Can you sue a priest who has broken the confessional seal and essentially ruined your life, intentionally or otherwise? Okay, so here's the Instagram post that was sent to me by my friend. I'm just pulling it up right now, and I'm opening it up. Here we go. The wonders of technology. Come on now. This is not great radio. I guess I should pay for faster cell phone service. Okay, here it is. This was from a lawyer, and he goes by the handle Law by Mike. So if you need a lawyer, you might want to check into this guy. I don't know. And essentially what happened was he's asking this question, can you sue a parish priest if this happens to you? Okay, so what was the situation? A woman had kind of a rocky marriage, and she wrote this story on Reddit, which is a popular site, as you probably know. And things were going pretty badly in her marriage. Rocky, she felt unappreciated. Sometime before COVID hit, things had gotten so bad that unfortunately this woman decided to go ahead and have an affair. Bad choice. But what happened was when COVID hit, everybody was kind of in quarantine, something that she never expected would happen happened. That is, she and her husband kind of reconciled. They had been living apart. They had gotten over their differences somehow and were trying to rebuild their marriage. But here's the thing. She had had an affair, and she obviously felt extremely guilty about this. So she went to her local parish priest, and she decided to go to confession. Hadn't been to confession in a long, long time. So she confessed the affair, and this is what the priest told her. The priest said, as your penance, you need to tell your husband what you did. You need to tell your husband. Now, as far as I know, I'm not so sure that this can be given out as a penance, but at any rate, she didn't do it. She was like, I don't know if I should do this. So she sat on it, didn't do anything, came home one day and found her husband throwing all of her stuff out of the bedroom, trying to kick her out of the house. He knew everything. What had happened was the parish priest followed up to see if she had actually come through with the penance that he had assigned. And the husband was like, what are you talking about? What penance? Oh, she never told you about the affair? Well, the priest obviously did tell him, and he hit the roof. So she is wondering, can I sue this parish priest? This is supposed to be private. What's his responsibility there? So my friend who's maybe looking into Catholicism, not quite sure, he hasn't fully admitted this to me yet, but he sent this to me, and he was really shocked that this happened. And he said this, now by the way, the lawyer said, essentially, you're not going to be successful if you try to sue this parish priest in court, because there are provisions for religious freedom and the confessional seal, yada, yada, yada. It's not really going to work if you try to sue the priest. But ought he to have done this? That's another story. So my friend told me this. He said, Cale, I'm not going to lie. I would be extremely nervous to ever go to confession. If I became Catholic, I'd be extremely nervous to ever go to confession because of this sort of thing. Would a priest ever tell somebody what I did? Well, first of all, I'd say a couple things. And this is what I told my friend. In terms of being nervous about going deep with a priest in confession, people are nervous usually for a couple reasons. This could be one of them. They're afraid that the priest might say something. But also they're afraid of maybe talking to the priest about things that they've done, things that might be, they think it's maybe out there. And this is why I told my friend, I said, look, any priest who's been a priest for any length of time has heard everything. Your sins aren't that unique. Your sins aren't that unique. So don't be afraid to go to confession. Should you want to become Catholic and you want to go to confession, which is a great thing, don't be afraid to go to confession, because this is how the devil works. He makes people sometimes tongue-tied. St. Jose Maria used to talk about the tongue-tied devil. People don't want to go to confession. They don't want to say it. They don't want to say that thing that's so embarrassing. But the priest has heard this stuff all before. Sins are all so dreadfully alike. Most of the sins are all the same. It's not going to be... It's the saints who are so different. Holiness is so different. Sin is so dreadfully alike. So I said, look, don't worry about that. But he said, what if the priest breaks the seal? What if the priest breaks the seal? Well, I said, that's an excommunicable offense for the priest. This priest who did this, his own soul is in grave, grave danger. So my friend was just shocked that was the case, that the priest could be excommunicated for breaking the seal. But wow, what a tragic story. And man, that's a grave, grave sin on the part of the priest, I think, to break that seal. And whew. Anyways, that was an interesting anecdote that kind of came my way. Going to take a quick break right now on the show, 888-914-9149, if you want to react to that, call in. But don't forget, we've still got, we're going to get you all set up for the weekend. Rich Gannon was by earlier. If you missed that interview, he came by earlier this week, a former QB of the Raiders and a big, big Relevant Radio super fan. And he shared his picks for the divisional round of the playoffs. And I have to update you guys on the record of the show team. How are we doing with our playoff picks? Yours truly, I'm not exactly Jimmy the Greek, let's put it that way. But we'll be sharing that with you, plus some other fun stories. And great time for you to call in. Great chance you'll get in if you call right now. 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Be right back.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
That's right. That's the number to call. 888-914-9149 on this Friday. Let's go to the phones right now. Anna is in Miami, Florida. Hi, Anna. Anna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Anna.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I find myself hearing people say quite a bit, you know, one wrong thing happens, and then it's like, you know, they blame it on the whole Catholic Church. And just this week, I had a conversation with someone about someone who was debating an abortion. And so it wasn't like a 15-year-old, you know, it's an adult. And we were praying. We were thinking, you know, my God, we have to pray for her and this and that. But then she, like many people, well, you know, I went to Catholic school all my life. But see, that's the thing. We can't judge and preach this and preach that and all the abuse, you know, cases. And I don't go to church. So I just, you know, I really think that priest, I think he should have obviously not said anything, but it sounds like maybe they were, knew each other well, and obviously the priest felt comfortable enough or had information, like their phone number or something, to ask as a follow-up. So I think if I had a grave sin like that and I'm really, it's sensitive, I think I'm going to go to a priest I don't even know, to tell you the truth. I mean, at that point, that's how I would do.
Well, you know, you have that right. You have that right. You have the right to anonymity in the confessional. There's no question about that. And so you can go to any priest, obviously, who has the faculties, who's a validly ordained priest. And a lot of people do that. And that's why if you go to, say, a day of confession, sometimes what they'll have in different dioceses and archdioceses in around the world. Certainly in North America, we certainly see it very prevalently here during Lent, during Advent, they'll have a day of confession or an evening of confession where priests from different parishes will kind of gather in one church, and then you can go to confession with any number of different priests, and it's not necessarily your parish priest. There's other guys there, and a lot of people love that. And one of the reasons why the lineups are really, really long, I think, because really, if you're looking for it's not really... it's not really time, what's the word I'm looking for? But it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in terms of time management to spend. And some of these people will be in line for hours, for 2 hours to go to confession, which I think is awesome. Now, if you just go to the normal confession times, usually there's no lineup at all. But I think one of the reasons why these evenings are so popular, I think are so great, is because people want to go to somebody that they don't know. And they're afraid that their parish priest will recognize them or hear their voice. And sometimes in some parishes, the confessionals are still open. And sometimes there will be face-to-face confessions. And it's interesting because my parish priest, one of the things he did when he got to our parish and he became the pastor, the confessionals were all open. There was no grill. There was no division between the priest and the penitent. And he actually had walls put in. He had walls put into the confessional. Part of it was to protect himself from ever being accused of anything in the confessional, that, hey, there's a solid wall there. There's no way that I was able to get across the person. And also for anonymity for the penitent as well. So he said, look, if somebody does want to go to confession face-to-face, that's fine, whatever, that's fine. We can make an appointment. But he always wanted that option to be there for people. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's certainly a good thing. Now, in the case of this priest who broke the seal, and Jim and I were talking about this during the break, producer Jim and I, there's a great, if you've ever seen, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, but there's an old, very old Alfred Hitchcock movie called I Confess, which is ironically set in Canada, in Quebec City. That's where it was filmed. Great, great movie. And it's all about the implications of that. The priest cannot break the confessional seal. He cannot act on any information that he heard in the confessional. He cannot act on any information that he has heard. Now I'm not a priest, and I'm not 100% confident in this, so take this with a huge grain of salt, okay? I'm not an expert, and if there are any priests listening right now or bishops listening right now, you can call in right now. We'll put you right to the front of the line. My impression, my understanding is that the priest cannot give you a penance that's going to, quote unquote, out you. For example, to tell this woman, your penance is you have to tell your husband that you committed adultery against him. That could obviously end the marriage. And in this case, it looks like it probably did. My understanding is that you can't offer a penance that's going to be something like that. Now, I could be wrong about that. So, if there are any priests out there, you want to disabuse me of that notion, please call in 888-914-9149. But yeah, so that's my understanding of the whole thing, that they can't, we know that they can't act on anything that they hear in the confessional, and this is covered by the seal. And yeah, so anyways, I'll just leave it there for now. Let's go to John in Jefferson City, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I heard you tell that story,
uh-huh.
And the source of it was Twitter about the priest. And I got to tell you, what about the chance that that's not a true story?
That's
because,
possible.
I know a lot of priests. Yeah, I know a lot of priests. My family, we associate with priests quite a bit, and they really value the seal of the confessional.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. The priest thought, there's a pretty good chance that's just a made-up story, and it might be some Catholic bashing going on there is what that is.
That's possible. That is possible. I mean, it's possible that it's just a hokum story. It's not real. And you're right. I mean, this would be an extreme, if it is real, I'm not saying that it is, and you're right, you have to consider the source. It was a woman who posted this on Reddit, who apparently lives in Maryland, said this happened to me, didn't give her real name. So it's possible that it's not a legit story. That's for sure. And you're right. And I my experience is the exact same. All the priests that I know, they obviously take that extremely seriously, because it is an excommunicable offense. Your own soul is in grave danger if you do that, clearly. And so that's obviously a no-no. Throughout church history, priests have been martyred, priests have been killed in ghastly and grisly ways because they refused to give up information that they heard in confession. Authorities want to find out something on somebody, get the dirt on somebody, and they'd rather die. They'd rather have their tongue cut out. They'd rather be killed than do this, because it's so serious. And so, obviously, you don't need to fear if you're a Catholic thinking, well, this is just another reason not to go to confession. No, go to confession. Like I said, But you know, my friend who's not Catholic, you know, he hears this story, whether it's real or not, and it's kind of freaking him out a little bit. And again, this would be another tool in the hands of the enemy. The fact that, as a previous caller said, that yes, there are some bad priests out there. Maybe a priest who's broken the confessional seal. Maybe a priest who's, we know that there are priests who have done dastardly deeds. We hear about it all the time. But this is the fact that there are sinners in the church, and some of them make it into the clergy. Some of them even become bishops. That's a reason why somebody gives to not become Catholic or not take their faith seriously. And those are really bogus reasons. Now, I understand that they're real reasons, but the truth of the matter is that it's always been that way in the church. The church is a hospital for sinners. And there's an old saying in the church, I believe this comes from St. Augustine. I believe it comes from St. Augustine, that when Peter forgives sins in the confessional, when Peter says, "I absolve you," Jesus Christ is forgiving that person. When Judas, if let's say Judas, because Judas was one of the 12, forgives in the confessional, then guess what? It's Jesus who forgives. And so even the personal holiness or lack thereof of the priest isn't an obstacle to the reality of the sacraments, to the efficacy of the sacraments, because it's for the sake of the faithful. And clearly these people are not living the truths of the Catholic Church if they're committing these grave sins. And are there people who lay people and clergy who are not adhering to the Catholic faith and not living it out? Obviously, all the time. And we all go to confession. We are all sinners. We all fall short in various ways. But that has nothing to do with the truth of the message of the church. That's another question entirely. But obviously, they're not exactly motives of credibility, right? Sinners in the church, they're counter witnesses in many ways, and we all are to some extent. But they're not exactly motives of credibility. And so we got to obviously try to limit that and pray for a greater spirit of holiness in the church, for sure. And that's what we need to do. All right. Well, listen, just really quick, we want to get our picks in before the end of the hour because I promised you that I would. And we're going to get Patrick here. We're going to bring in Patrick Alog. And, you know, we kind of had mixed results so far in our picks. Rich Gannon was in earlier, and he gave us his picks for the weekend. So we're going to add him in to this as well as our resident former player and NFL aficionado. Who comes in very often on the Cale Clark Show to talk about this. So, producer Jim, you made some interesting calls during last week's games, and you're right about the Dallas Cowboys. I wasn't expecting them to beat the Buccaneers, but you're not exactly the biggest Tom Brady fan in the world. But you came in, you are tied for the lead on our show team in terms of your picks, with a record of 4-2. How do you feel about yourself, Jim?
You know, if I was 0-6, I would feel just as good. But I'm not getting any money for this. That's fine. You know, yeah, but it's for fun.
We're just
doing
it for fun.
But yeah, it feels good to be 4-2. I mean, it's better than 3-3.
Yeah. yeah, thanks. Yeah, and by the way, that's where I came in. I came in at 3-3. Oi. And Patrick Alog, is he here yet? Okay, Patrick, welcome.
Yes, I am.
And Patrick, congratulations. You're tied with Jim for the show team lead. 4-2 last weekend in the Super Wild Card round. So congrats to you.
I should have been 5-1, but I'm not going to say what team from California didn't do its job, but that's a different story.
Yeah, you and I both picked the LA Chargers, and they obviously fell apart against the Jags in the second half. And yep, so you were 4-1 for a little while, but wound up 4-2. All right, so we got some music there, Jim. We need to have some, to get us in the mood, we need some NFL music. All right, let's go. Now, this is, by the way, this is the second most watched weekend of the playoffs after the Super Bowl, the divisional round. Okay, so let's go with the Saturday matchups. First one, Kansas City. They're hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jim, how do you see this?
Yeah, you know, the Jaguars put on a great performance in last week's game, but the Chiefs are just too tough. Patrick Mahomes, he's the dude, man. He's out there, and he makes plays that just look ridiculous. And so, yeah, I got to go with Kansas City.
All right, Kansas City, Patrick Alog.
This game should not be watchable by the time the fourth quarter rolls around. If it is, credit to the Jaguars, but I have the Chiefs all the way.
Yeah, me too. I'm not saying it won't be competitive. Jacksonville's been playing really, really well of late, but in Arrowhead, one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL, Chiefs Kingdom, Patrick Aylock's having a great season too, but Patrick Mahomes, that's what I meant to say. Another superlative guy named Patrick. He's going to be the MVP this year. I see the Chiefs winning this one as well. All right, Jim, what about the late Saturday game? The New York football Giants going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly, you know, Jalen Hurts is back in action, a quarterback for Philadelphia now, coming off an injury. NFC East matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. The Giants have proved that they are not just playoff worthy, but they are a good football team. But I think the Eagles are going to pull it off, and it's going to be a close one, but I think I have the Eagles in this one.
Got the Eagles, okay. Patrick Aylog.
Yeah, right. This is where I think an upset's going to happen. The Eagles, they're the number one seed. They don't feel like the number one. It doesn't feel like they're the number one seed, though. And we'll see how well Jalen Hurts plays, even though coming off injury. I think I have the Giants winning a close game here, going to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not sold on Philadelphia, and I apologize to all the Eagles fans out there, but I just don't see them getting to the Super Bowl. I don't see them even winning this game. I'm going with the Giants, too. The Giants were... Daniel Jones was incredible in that game against Minnesota last weekend at U.S. Bank Stadium. So I'm going to go with the Giants as well. I remember the time not too long ago. I'm old enough to remember Philadelphia losing to the Washington Commanders earlier this year. So I think the Giants are better than them, and I think the Giants will win this game. All right. This is another epic matchup that's going to happen on Sunday. My Buffalo Bills going up against the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. Jim, what's your pick?
I'm going with Joe Cool. You know, I'm going
for it.
Yeah, it's going to be a close one. Sorry, Kale. The Bills are a great team, and they've overcome so much adversity, especially in the last couple weeks. But both, I think, evenly matched teams. But I think the Bengals pull it off by a touchdown.
Oh, okay. All right. Patrick Aylog.
I think this is the best game of the weekend, and it could be the two best teams in the two best teams left in the playoffs. Unlike Jim, though, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
All right, because no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, as Chris Berman used to say. I got to go with my Bills too, of course, but I am scared of Cincinnati though. They're playing well, and I see the Bills winning this. So, all right, so the late game on Sunday, classic matchup, harkening back to the days of Deion Sanders, who played for both teams, Steve Young, all the classic matchups between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. Even going back to the catch game in 1981, it's always been a classic playoff rivalry in the NFC. Jim, what's your pick between the Niners and the Dallas Cowboys?
These picks this weekend are either I'm going to either make it or break it with them. I'm going to go with Dallas.
Dallas
is a team that
really?
Has had a lot of adversity over the years. Of course, they've had some great Super Bowl teams, but it's been a long time coming since then.
It's been long time.
Yeah, I think they're going to pull out. I think Dak Prescott, as long as they're... field goal kicker can make some extra points.
Yeah,
I think they're going to pull it off.
They did sign a new kicker just as an insurance policy, which
there you
I
go.
Think they,
that's smart.
Yeah, and what's the name of the guy, Patrick, who was kicking for them last week? I can't even remember his name.
Maher, I think.
Maher.
M-A-H-E-R.
Yeah, I think he missed every possible kick he could have. He missed four extra points, I believe.
No, he made one. He made one.
Oh,
he made
okay.
one at the
right.
end.
That and
makes
that
it
was
okay.
the one where they had a chance to kick a field goal. And McCarthy said, no, heck, I'm just going for it. And they actually scored a touchdown on that play, and then he did. Yes, he made
okay.
that.
I'd stopped watching by that point. I'd given up on the Buccaneers at that point. But I'm going to go with San Francisco myself. I'm going to go with San Fran because I do think San Fran's going to make it to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. I think they're just a juggernaut. And despite the fact they have a rookie quarterback in Brock Purdy, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. We talked about that with Rich Gannon the other day. So I'm going with the Niners. How about you, Aylog?
I am also going with San Francisco. I think, Kale, we're together in all our picks, aren't we?
We are. We are.
And Jim is different on three of them. He really is.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he's playing the odds because if he's right, he's gonna win big. So
people always thought I was a little different.
Yeah. And by the way, Rich Gannon. Just so you know, if catch the podcast if you missed our interview with Rich Gannon. You're not gonna want to. Do without that this weekend. So go to the archives, relevantradio.com, and through the app. Rich Gannon picked Kansas City, Philadelphia, That's the one where he's going to be wrong. Just kidding. Buffalo and San Fran. Yeah, so getting down to the wire. But, yeah, we're getting a little bit more of the same mind, except for Jim in terms of our picks. But and let's go ahead and make our Super Bowl picks right now, too. Let's do it now. Let's do it now. Who's making it to the Super Bowl, Jim?
Are your team still in it?
What's that?
Did he have a Super Bowl pick,
so,
Jim?
So we didn't actually do that first round. Yeah, we probably should have. We're kind of cheating a little bit. We should have done it before. We should have made. I gave my pick. I think it's going to be Buffalo against San Fran with Buffalo winning. But and that's actually what Rich Gannon said. I forced him to kind of make a call there. I'm not sure he really wanted to do that, but he has Buffalo over San Fran as well. So that's what I'm going to go with. Obviously, I want my Bills to win their first Super Bowl, but Patrick Alog, who do you think is going to get in it? Who do you think is going to win?
I actually put it on my Facebook, so it is on the record. I also had Buffalo and San Francisco.
Okay, and Buffalo over San Fran?
I think you know what? Actually, I didn't put who was going to win. I think I just had the two teams.
Okay,
but
well,
if you
pick,
but
a,
if
winner.
You, pick a winner,
yes.
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo. Okay, good man. You still have a job. No, I'm only kidding. Jim, okay, what are you going to say? You're the contrarian here.
Yeah, Kansas City and Philadelphia. Ooh. Kansas City wins it.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, that's justifiable. Justifiable. They're all good. Everybody who's left is capable of winning it. That's for sure. And we'll see how it plays out this weekend. Well, this weekend is a great time, by the way, to binge listen to episodes that you may have missed of the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, and also the Faith Explained. As you're going through the Exodus series, talking about all kinds of interesting stuff. So glad to be with you. Brooke Taylor is going to have a really interesting show. Do not miss this show that's coming up next. You'll see why. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.